Okay. This is episode number 106 of the Android Buffet podcast, recorded July 30th, 2012. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, welcome everybody to yet another exciting episode of the Android Buffet podcast.
Woohoo!
I am your host, Mr. Wozniak. No? Okay. I'm still trying to get use out of my cover identity from the International Spy Museum. So far, it hasn't worked.
Oh.
Well, I spent all this time memorizing that I was Gary Wozniak from Canada, and so far
no one's asked me. Oh, I thought you were Steve Wozniak.
No, Gary. I'm Gary, according to the sign that I was told to memorize, I'm Gary Wozniak from Canada. I'm originally from New Zealand. I'm a teacher, and I am going to Singapore for 90 days. Feel free to ask me any questions about being Gary Wozniak, because I'm fully prepared.
Okay.
You don't think I'd be a good spy?
No.
Okay. In other news, Android Buffet is now on Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher Radio, rockin'!
Yes, so if you listen to Stitcher, you can listen to us on Stitcher. Stitch away.
Cool.
Yes. Oh, and in good news, my mother is once again in residence.
Your head is what, huh?
Well, my mother is once again around this evening, but she opted not, even though she happens to be here, she opted not to join me for the podcast because there was an important rerun of House Hunters on.
Ah, I can't miss that.
No, you can't. I say they're going to pick the second house. Sorry, you have to watch House Hunters to get that one.
I guess. I've never seen it. Sorry.
You're lucky. I've sat through episodes of House Hunters. You know, sometimes you have to do things to hang out with your relatives. I do have an update on my Transformer.
How's your Transformer doing?
Well, let's see. I believe we got an email about that. Where did I put that Transformer-based email? We actually got some nice emails this week. Let's see. Here we are. We got an email from Russ D. in St. Pete, Florida. Russ D. writes.
Carry on.
Mahalo, Guru and Jerry. I listen to your podcast every week when I get a chance. I'd love to be there, live, but my podcast is restricted with prejudice to commuting and during chores. Anyway, as a longtime Android user and hacker, I have some comments and suggestions for you fellas. Guru, I own a TF-101, which I love dearly. The ICS update has made massive improvements and few detriments to the Transformer. I have not experienced the issues reported by you and others due to the fact that I have been running custom ROMs since October, if my memory serves me. My fiancé has the same tablet and has experienced SOD issues, sleep of death. The answer lies within rooting, installing custom recovery, and installing custom firmware. I have been using Megatron version 1.16 with the included kernel found on the TF-101 development forum on the XDA developer's website. Make sure you follow the wiping instructions to a T. My TF-101 has experienced fantastic battery life, like it had in Honeycomb, and is buttery. I purchased a Nexus 7 due to impulse from Sam's Club last week to use around the living room. It is fabulous, but I need the Transformer-style tablet with keyboard dock because I take it to class and get many work emails each day that I need to respond to. I'm pretty efficient when it comes to touch typing. However, it is no way on the same level of utility as the Transformer keyboard included in the dock. With the Megatron ROM and quick app switching shortcut on the keyboard, Alt-Tab, the Transformer is vital for productivity. I can go on and on, but it is also better for video. Netflix, Hulu, and Play Rentals. I will admit that the Nexus 7 wipes the floor with all Android tablets in the performance department, but the lack of an HDMI out kills it as my go-to tablet. Jerry, I would like to give you my condolences in regards to being a loyal Sprint user. My best man is a Sprint user, and Samsung Galaxy S2 Epic 4G Touch owner. While the phone is very well-rounded Android device, Sprint's coverage, reliability, and speed is beyond poor. He has to go outside my house to make a phone call. He pulls down 3 to 5 gigabits per second, max, of WiMAX when it works. I have 2 bars of Verizon LTE on my Galaxy Nexus and consistently pull down between 15 and 30 gigabytes with bursts in the mid-30s. I have yet to be able to make a phone call. I have yet to not be able to make a phone call. It is just a shame that you have such a capable device with the Evo LTE on a network that is so far behind. I hope your Wi-Fi is solid and plenty. Anyway, Guru, stick with the TF-101. I've heard you say on the show before that you would rather not mess with stock offerings, but if it were a new distro of Fedora, you would jump on it like a fat kid on a cake. Jerry, I hope you're getting a great deal on that Sprint service. I'm not saying that Verizon is the best, by any means. If I were not grandfathered unlimited, I would be on an unlocked GSM plan, but I'll take a network that works over one that is trying. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Send from my Asus Transformer TF-101.
Well, alrighty then.
No comment on all that?
I don't...
Well, at least on the Sprint part.
No, on the... All I can say is that, one, Wi-Fi is plentiful, and Sprint coverage in Jacksonville is pretty good. I know I was quite frustrated with it when I went down to Orlando.
How about St. Petersburg? For that weekend,
but, you know, where I live here in Jacksonville, the driving around Jacksonville, I get great service. Okay. In a couple of months, I should have LTE available, but until then, I've got 4G if I need... You know, the WiMAX 4G if I need speed. And honestly, I rarely do.
Oh, does the Evo 4G LTE support WiMAX?
No, it does not.
Okay, I didn't think it did. You have 3G then?
Yes, but I also have an Evo with 4G.
Okay.
That typically stays in my car.
Good place to have it. But either way, in regards to his comments for me, he's not the only one who necessarily suggested this. Nate Hoffelder at the Digital Reader blog has decided to leave Asus as each firmware update to his Transformer degraded performance. So me complaining about this last week happened to coincidentally coincide with him complaining about it, although I've never met Nate Hoffelder. I have read the Digital Reader blog. So that and Russ's letter made me decide to try Megatron. Mm-hmm. So I did the Transformer. So far, Gmail hasn't frozen. I did enjoy the random reboot, but that may have just been a fluke. It only happened once. So far it appears to be working, but jury's still out. I do like the changed icon. Instead of a standard battery widget in the bottom bar, mm-hmm. My battery widget is a little Android. You know, cuteness factor.
Ah.
You have to appreciate cuteness factor.
I do.
Okay. You do, or was that a question or a comment?
I guess it could have been both. I meant it as a comment.
Okay. In other news, we did get... some other messages. Let me switch back over to email, separate from the Mahalo. We got an email from Door-to-Door Geek. Hello, Guru. I was sad to hear Jerry ask if the email was from Steve in almost a depressed mood. I like to pick on him. He is such a Windows winner. W-I-N-N-I-R.
What, as in wiener or winner?
Well, maybe he was typing it on his phone. It says
a Windows wiener. I'll go along. Okay.
Okay. They suggested that we don't. He suggests that we don't read spam mail, which
mail is not.
No, that was the one where the person suggested that we try their app. He did send us another email just at 2:30 today, and this one I want to read it in its entirety because I think we should give this a shot.
Okay. Well, just to be clear, I love it when we get email from Steve.
Yes. Let's see. We have an event coming that is not only needed but cool. Jonathan Nadeau, originally from frostbitemedia.org and frostbitesystems.com, has shifted his goal. I'm going to skip ahead here. Jonathan
has... I thought you said you were going to read it in its entirety.
You want me to? Okay.
I don't know what you're skipping.
Okay, I was just going
Maybe it's important stuff. Maybe it's cool. Maybe it's witty. Maybe it's secure to cancer. I won't know unless you read it.
Okay. Being blind, he has suffered through absolute worst systems and software. In this day and age where even a dishwasher or fast food employee has to use a computer to do their job or even just clocking into work, we are at a critical time in history where large groups of people are being left behind, and they are being left behind for no good reason. Most developers don't even think about making software accessible, and the kicker is for most software, it takes a very minimal amount of total development time. So upsets Jonathan, he has started a 501c organization, the Accessible Computing Foundation. And this is the part where it affects us. He's going to hold an internet radio marathon on August the 25th. The audio is going to be streamed via the new radio, which is also, by the way, who streams Droid Nation, which is the Nadeau Door-to-Door Geek and Others show. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so far they have lined up John O'Bacon and Zach, the Debian project leader. We are asking for your help. We need to get the word out. We need audience who normally don't hear about accessibility issues. So you're saying if you're a podcaster and want a representative from the AccessibleComputerFoundation.org, please let us know. And I say that we should invite somebody on. I know we had Jonathan on, but we didn't talk about the Accessible Computing Foundation. So him or somebody else we should invite on and let them talk about this.
I concur.
Yes. Should we show up for his internet radio marathon if he wants?
I would like... Yes, I will have it streaming.
Well, should we show up, though? I don't know if you want... speak? Well, I know every time I see people doing internet radio marathons, they ask people to sign up for an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, man the radio. And, you know, keep the conversation going. So if they're interested, do you want to volunteer to keep the conversation going?
Okay.
We can take 2 a.m. Me and you.
2 a.m.
I'm kidding.
UTC?
I have no idea what his plans are, but I just thought in the event that they're looking for people to hold down the phone for a marathon, I don't know how long a marathon is in their opinion. That could be all weekend for all I know. Or it could be the straight 24 hours from the beginning of August 25th to the end of August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's interested, I think we should volunteer. That would be fun.
Alrighty.
Okay, well, I'll send an email. But otherwise, if you listen to this podcast, consider it an offer. Stop by. But speaking of offers, before I forget, Kevin McLaughlin has been on Twitter trying to get us some guests. So far, he has tweeted, Leo Laporte. Dick DiBartolo, Gina Trapani, Mickey Papillon. So that's rather ambitious.
Marissa Myers.
I don't know. I've tried to convince people to come on the show. I'm not very aggressive about it. But I think that he's been so dedicated to the show, I think we need to do something to demonstrate his dedication. So I have an idea.
Okay.
One, I'm going to send him an authentic Android figurine. I've been saving those for a special occasion. So Kevin, send me your address and I will ship you a figurine. And what I want to do in addition to that is I want to give you an official title.
Just all up in the officialness.
Yes. So I say from now on, Kevin should be our associate producer. What do you think?
I think we should go with vice president of social media.
Yes, but that would limit him to social media. I think associate producer says that he is somehow involved. Haven't you noticed when people contribute to a movie, they give them a producer credit?
No, I always thought that was when executive producer or associate producer when they didn't do anything, but they were related to somebody.
No, I thought it was when they contributed.
Okay.
Yes. But because he's a contributor, I also want to prepare a contributor page for him on the website.
Cool.
Yes, so he can have a contributor's page and a title. So, Kevin, get back to us with your preferred title. I think associate producer is very dignified, but Jerry wants to go with vice president of social media. See, I don't necessarily like that because we don't have a president of social media.
So let's make him the president of social media. President of public relations. Chief executive public relations person.
Well, that's the question. Chief executive, where does that rank on the corporate hierarchy?
C-level.
Well, what's your title, Jerry?
Doofus on the mic.
And where does Doofus on the mic relate to chief executive in charge of social media?
Significantly less important.
Okay. So, Kevin, get back to us. And if you guys would like to vote on what title you think Kevin should accept for his contribution to the show, then feel free to vote. And Murph, as usual, you may retain your existing title. A guy who sits in the chat room and makes snarky comments.
The associate snarky comment producer.
Well, you know what they used to call that in the old days?
No.
The court jester.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, those were valuable people.
Yes, they were. You know, the king had to be happy. If the king wasn't happy, everybody was miserable.
Yes. Kind of like in my house. If mom's not happy, nobody's happy.
Yes. All hail the queen. Anyway, moving along. In other news, DEF CON was going on, so apparently nearly 650 attendees received a custom Android phone that allowed them onto a private cell network called NinjaTel. NinjaTel apparently is a voice SMS GSM network that can also route calls over Wi-Fi. And using their special customized ROM, anyone who joins the network is added to a group contact list. I did enjoy their EULA, though. You hereby grant NinjaTel permission to listen to, read, view, and or record any and all communications sent via the network to which you are a party. Before you get all upset about this, you already know full well that AT&T does this for the NSA. You understand that you have no reasonable expectation of privacy as to any on the NinjaTel network. You grant NinjaTel a worldwide perpetual assignable royalty-free license to use any and all recorded or real-time communications sent via the NinjaTel network. to which you are a party. Don't worry, most of this is for the lulz. So did you see the video, Jerry?
I did not. Is it cool?
Well, you know, they brought in a telecom van. Apparently last year they brought in the door of a telecom van. Mm-hmm. So this year they brought the whole van. And the van is actually an entire network. Completely self-contained, just requires power. And they got funding from several organizations to bring in these cell phones, and it made for an interesting social and technological experiment. Video is definitely worth watching.
Cool.
Yes. Moving along for more security news, assisted GPS, a system where the cellular network provides an approximate location and assists in determining a lock for the precise location, is not secure. And it would take only one malicious Wi-Fi network to change the configuration to be allowed to track you. And as these messages are processed using the main processor on the phone, this could be used to further exploit the phone.
Okay, my question is, what's Wi-Fi got to do with this? It's GPS. It's cell tower. What's Wi-Fi got to do with it?
Have you ever seen your phone? The fact that your phone also can use Wi-Fi networks to
determine its location? Right, but
essentially,
what does tracking via Wi-Fi have to do with assisted GPS?
Apparently, it can use either. If I understand correctly, on several phones, assisted GPS can either attempt to do the general location using the Wi-Fi network you're connected to, or using the cellular network you're connected to. It doesn't have to use a cellular network. There's a setting on your phone for exactly that. And apparently, the communications to determine these locations are not secure, and apparently you could intercept them. And the assisted service could actually tell the phone to apparently continue to communicate with it even after you'd left that network, if I understand the tech correctly.
Hmm. Not making sense to me.
Well, security is not necessarily my expertise. But basically, it's unencrypted. Unencrypted is scary. Let's go there. You could be tracked by random individuals who hacked your assisted GPS system. Solution: somebody encrypts assisted GPS so that you cannot hack it. Problem solved. World is happy. There is peace in the valley.
Encryption's not always the answer.
Well, it is if you want to make sure that somebody doesn't take over your information stream. That usually is a pretty good way.
No. Encryption solves a very specific, prevents against a very specific attack vector. I don't get it. But okay, carrying on.
Okay. SafePay wants to use cell phones to combat online fraud. They're planning a tool that would have smartphone users download an app, enter in their billing address, and first and last 6 digits of the credit cards registered. When somebody tries to make a purchase at a site that supports SafePay, the user is sent a real-time in-app push notification, alerting them to the transaction and providing them 60 seconds to approve or decline the sale.
I like it.
Well, so do I. See, I'd like this right now. Wouldn't you like the ability to decide that whenever something was charged on your card, you can get a notification?
Right, because that gives you 60 seconds to get out the door before you decline the payment charge.
Oh, is that your reason for liking it?
No, but...
Besides, this is online fraud. They're not doing this for point-of-sale merchants. This is an idea for website-based.
Really?
Yeah. Online.
Oh, I was thinking, at a site, I was thinking...
The idea being... The idea being... Let's take an example. Jerry, somebody skims your credit card at the local gas station. Then they try to use your credit card to go on to a site that sells tickets for music events. And before you know it, they have their ticket to see Casey and the Sunshine Band. And you're off trying to figure out how to get your money back.
No, I think it's a great idea. I mean, even if it was something more, you know, in the physical world, you know, somebody swipes your wallet or you lose the lose the card or whatever, or it get, as you say, it gets skimmed. You know, the lack of the phone. No, I think it's an excellent idea.
Well, I think that, you know, credit card companies could also implement something where whenever there was a charge, you could opt to get a notification. Now, admittedly, that would annoy you if it happened too frequently. But if you had the choice, would you want it if you had the choice that if there was a transaction on your card over a certain event, that it would push it to the credit card app on your phone and display in the notifications bar rather than a text message? Well, now they'll do it. Most credit card companies will now do it with a text message. They'll send a text message to you.
I've never seen that, but that would be cool.
Most of the banks I've done will say if there's a single transaction over a threshold you set, that they will send you a text message to your phone saying, this happened, but it usually takes time. It's not instantaneous. So I've actually, they wait until the charge clears. So I've made a deliberate charge and gotten a message 2 days later, which isn't really helpful in stopping fraud, at least in my opinion.
Well, at that point, you can call them up and go, yeah, no. And then you're no longer responsible for the charge.
I know, but debit cards, you wouldn't be.
Debit cards, you'd still be screwed.
Well, that's why my philosophy is use a credit card, pay it off at the end of the month. I'm in it for the fraud protection and the cash back. Anyway, in regards to financial push notifications, play a role in something we're going to talk about later. One other bit of other news. The FTC has said that wireless customers should be able to block all third-party charges to phone bills. What do you think?
Yes.
I agree. I think it makes perfect sense that wireless customers should say, I forbid you to charge anything to my card that's not, excuse me, to my bill that's not phone-related.
Yeah.
And I've set that up.
Yes.
Well, do you remember the old feature phones where they used to make one button off of the little navigator in the middle of the phone go to the little web browser? And people would always hit in that direction and end up paying for 2 seconds of web, even though they might not even know what the web was.
Right.
Things like that. Then the 2 minutes they make you wait on the phone before they'll let you listen to your voicemail. These are all things that they do, and this isn't even getting into third-party charges. Why can't a company be honest with me? Why can't a company say, I don't want this, prevent me from doing it because I don't want to pay for it? Moving along. Apparently an iOS developer shred Android and called it built from the ground up for piracy. What do you think, Jerry? Is Android built from the ground up for piracy? Does the fact you can sideload apps without restriction make it a pirate's platform?
No.
The fact that you can easily root it and extract applications?
No.
Okay.
It's not built from the ground up for that. Those are just side effects of, you know, freedom. The way Android's openness.
Yeah, but this guy insists that freedom is a bad thing.
Well, he's an iOS developer. What do you expect?
Well, I like to be fair to other people's arguments. I disagree with him. The thing is that he is right. Most people don't care. We care. So I'll agree with him on that. Most people do not care whether or not something's open or closed. And the argument that the reason we care is because we have the freedom to do what we want does not necessarily hold water for most people. It does for me.
Well,
does for you, does for most
people. You know, just because you have the ability to do anything you want doesn't mean that you have the moral latitude to do anything that you want.
Well, this is more of the walled garden concept. Do you want it to be in a walled garden?
No.
Neither do I. I like the freedom to make my decisions. That doesn't mean I'm going to make illegal decisions. And I pay for plenty of things. Probably more than I should, considering I buy a lot of things to try out for the show. I have to write better reviews, though. I stink at review writing, too.
How's the phrase go? Just because you can do a thing, it does not follow that you should do that thing?
Yes, that's how I feel about piracy. I can pirate whenever I want. I don't. I buy things legally. I believe developers deserve some money. I don't always agree on the pricing, but I can always wait for a sale or not buy. My freedom is to not give them money if I don't want to. Moving along, speaking of money, Fandroid was wondering what happened to Federico Carnalis and his development of Launcher Pro and Uber Music. You remember when I was talking about that many moons ago, Jerry? And I gave the guy money?
Yeah.
And he's still working on the latest generation of Launcher Pro somewhere in a cave?
Yeah, sometimes life interferes.
I know. Just disappointing. I like those products. But it prompted me to ask the question, what have you left behind, Jerry? What were you excited about 2 years ago when we started the show that you haven't even touched anymore?
I haven't done any Android development in a long time.
We miss that, Jerry.
So do I.
Yes, I miss asking you about your latest Android-based project, like your latest revision for my soundboard.
Yeah.
And Real Mirror. I finally have a front-facing camera, and Real Mirror does not support my phone. Anyway, moving along. Apparently, Arcos released a new tablet, prompting an editorial, affordable tablet manufacturers have to change their strategy or find a new market. So what's the strategy for an affordable tablet, Jerry? I don't want to really talk about Arcos and the fact they've released something that's not even as good as the Kindle Fire in terms of specs. But basically, what would make people buy Android-based tablets?
Being as cheap and fast?
Would you buy a Nexus 7? I keep being tempted, Jerry. I have to.
Oh, I'm tempted. I just, for your average person, cheap and fast.
Well, I happen
to have. For me, I want cheap, fast, and lots of pixels.
I'd like to point out that I happen to have a Staples gift card eating up my back pocket. They paid me back for the chair.
Oh.
The broken one.
Yeah.
So I have a $50 Staples gift certificate, and I found that there's a staple within driving distance that allegedly has an Nexus 7. in stock. Talk me down, Jerry.
No. Go get it.
You're no help at all. Anyway, moving along. Apple's court-ordered requirement to publicly post that Samsung did not copy them has been stayed till October. They apparently appealed, claiming that they did not wish to advertise their rivals. So the decision is being appealed. They do not have to put on their website that Samsung did not copy them. Meanwhile, back in the lands of litigiousness, Apple apparently wants $2.5 million from Samsung for infringed patents. But they were nice enough to offer half a cent each for each of Samsung's patents that Samsung says they violated. So Apple's patents, $2.5 billion. Samsung's patents, half a cent each.
Hmm.
What planet are we on, Jerry?
Sometimes I wonder, you gotta wonder, right?
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, you have Samsung pointing out that the iPhone wouldn't exist without Samsung's technology. I believe Samsung actually supplies the screens, among other things.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you have to understand how Samsung is organized. They have several independent manufacturing divisions. So the LCD division is actually separate from the mobile division.
Yeah, but it's got the same CEO, and I bet he's pissed at Apple.
Well, yeah, which is probably why they're saying it, because they've tried to keep the whole thing separate. But the fact that it's getting this nasty indicates that Samsung might, out of spite, just pull the whole relationship with Apple, despite how much money it makes them, and take the same screens and use them in their own products. They sell them to themselves, at least divisionally. Moving along, Google Handwrite was launched for mobile browsers. You can enable it in your search preferences and then handwrite your search queries. Have you tried this, Jerry?
No, I'm not real good at handwriting.
Neither am I. I just think it's interesting. As is Intel confirming that it's working on porting Jelly Bean to Atom chips. Would you like Jelly Bean on your Atom?
Wait, what?
Intel is working on porting Jelly Bean, Android 4.1, to Atom chips. So they want it to run on the x86.
Atom. Okay.
You know, the Intel Atom processor. That's actually the thing that's running the stream this evening. An old Foxconn Atom board that I put into that little tiny case. I actually call it Tiny.
All right.
I love Tiny. Moving along. The first batch of Nexus Qs were sold out one day after launch.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I was surprised, Jerry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I thought medicine balls had gone out of fashion.
Okay.
I should have gone for cannonball.
Wow.
Bocce ball. Bowling ball.
I'm surprised.
I'm surprised, too. It's not that it isn't a nice device, but for what it does and what it's capable of for $300, it doesn't seem like, you know, anybody other than early adopters would buy it.
Okay, I guess there's a lot of early adopters.
I wonder if Pat Archibald bought one. I remember he bought an early Google TV when he bought the Logitech Review, which has been slowly driving my mother crazy. I better steal it back. Anyway, that's another problem. Google Dashboard apparently shows data on your Android devices and which apps have backups stored on Google servers, which is very interesting, except you can't do anything with it. You can't take it out, and you can't delete it. So why tell us it's there?
It's baby steps?
I like it when I see it. Moving into some app news. Yake updated to version 1.0, now with new ICS Jelly Bean user interface. Have you ever used Yake, Jerry?
I tried it.
Well, it has a new version.
Yay.
Looks nicer. I haven't had a chance to try the new version. I saw the screenshots, though. And it's totally free. And open source. Thumb Keyboard was updated, adding an ICS continuous voice recognition function and a one-handed layout.
A one-handed layout, says you.
Yes, so if you want to type on it with only one hand as opposed to two hands, you may do this.
Interesting.
I thought so. Path received an update. It adds movies, books, and photo cropping tools. Path, if you don't remember, is a miniature social network where you're only supposed to connect to people who you know very well, as opposed to other social networks where you connect to a bunch of strangers you don't really know, with some rare exceptions.
Okay.
That's Path, for the discriminating social networker. Moving along, Plume, which is a Twitter client, was updated with UI improvements. It offers a free and a premium version, which is about $5. It was formerly Twitter. That was T-W-I-T-T-E-U-R. But it had to be changed for legal reasons. There are some complaints that in the recent versions there has been a slower refresh, but most people agree that it looks good. Personally, I'd rather have it refresh more and look a little less good, but you can't have everything. I'm still having trouble finding an ideal Twitter client. Not that easy.
Yep.
Plex for Android was updated, adding remote control features and a new streaming option called Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
Yes.
And what is this Quicksilver of which you speak?
I did not see the technical details, but it is a new option for streaming over a network. Have you tried Plex, Jerry?
Nope.
You've tried XBMC?
Nope.
Boxy?
Nope.
You should try one of these things. They're all interesting.
I'm sure they are.
Okay. InstaWiFi offers NFC or QR code joining of Wi-Fi networks. However, if you don't have NFC, which I don't, but Jerry does, does the Nexus 7 have NFC, Jerry?
I'm fairly certain it does.
Okay. Tempted again. Basically, you can try this product, which is free. However, if you just want to use a QR code, you could use barcode scanner and the online generator. So I was thinking of doing this. My mother was complaining that she can never remember the password for the wireless network I set up for her.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of just posting it on the wall. Scan this. No.
Hey, if it works, great.
Well, we'll see if it works. I've never tried it. Orange UK launched the Travel Angel app, which helps keep track of international roaming. So if you are on Orange UK, looks like a nice app. Good screenshots, very useful. And in our final note of the evening, Pushover has teamed up with IFTTT. Have you ever tried IFTTT? Or is it IFTT? I thought it was IFTTT. I always get that
confused. That's if this, then that.
So yeah, so that would be 3
IFTTT.
Have you ever tried it?
No. Seems interesting, though.
Well, the idea is that they provide channels, which would essentially be links to various services. And it allows you to set up what they call recipes, which are ways to have different services interface with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I have it set up, and I have for a while, a recipe where when I mark something red in Pocket, which is my Read It Later app, formerly known as Read It Later, it automatically archives it to Pinboard. Previously, a Pinboard would get everything. Now it only gets things when I mark them as red in Pocket. And I set that up with if this, then that. But the interesting thing is now Pushover has teamed up with them. And I find Pushover very interesting. So if you don't want to write your own custom Android app, Pushover allows web apps, scripts, and other fancy developer things, I'm quoting somebody else, to plug into the notification shade on your phone or tablet.
Say that again?
Basically, it allows web apps, scripts, and other fancy developer things to plug into your notification screen on your phone or tablet. So basically, you can send a message to this program that's running on your phone, and it will put something into the notification screen. Once you do that, applications, rather than writing their own custom Android apps, can register with Pushover to send push notifications to your phone. And if this, then that is one of those applications. So you can set up recipes with if this, then that. And the result of something happening can be that it will send a message to Pushover, which will display in your notification bar.
I like it.
Well, you know what I wanted to do with it?
I have no idea what you wanted to do with it.
Well, you can actually send push notifications to Pushover using a curl command and a script.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have the web server that runs Android Buffet tell me if there's a problem by sending a push notification directly to my phone.
That would be cool.
I thought so. Because I'm not always checking my email, but that's one of the few things I would want my phone to make a notification noise for. Please look at me. I'm crashing. So you can script actions using the if this then that web app. So when a new file is uploaded to your Dropbox, it could send a notification. When there's a new RSS post in your feed, etc. In fact, if this then that, if you look, has dozens of channels. You can have it respond to weather. So you can have it every morning push the weather to your phone without a weather app. It may be that you don't like the weather app that you have. It may be that none of the weather apps do anything for you. So you could have your own custom weather pushed to the phone. Unfortunately, we missed the 99-cent sale. So it's back up at its normal price of $5. But you can always wait for the next sale.
$4.
Four or five. Oops. Anyway, I installed it on my TF-101 tablet running Megatron. I'm waiting for a good and stable Jelly Bean port. But now I could send messages via Pushover. So I'm going to give that a shot. When I get time, I want to script something that will send a message to my phone telling me something's happening on the server.
Wow, this is like super cool.
Well, the nice thing is you don't always want to write a complicated app. You don't want to write a custom Android app to link into your custom web app, to link into your custom code. You may just want something that will work very simply with you having to do a minimum amount of effort. And this works very nicely. Because you
It's an HTTP call.
Yeah.
So if, and just about any language can
yeah, they have calls out
easily.
They have examples on the page. So if you have pushover installed and you want to notify yourself of something that's going on somewhere else, if this, then that will do it for you. They link into it. Or you can just go and program a cron job or program a something scheduled in, what do they call the Windows scheduler?
The task scheduler.
The Windows task scheduler or some other related thing, and it will just do it. You don't have to go and, I'm not going to say it's bad to learn Android, but if you want to just have notifications from a system sent to your phone, it's really not worth it to write an entire complicated Android app. I think this is a much more elegant solution.
I like it. Well, and it's particularly nice in that if you get a new phone, you won't have to install the 47 custom apps that you made for the 47 custom notifications that you want. Yeah. You install pushover and you're getting all your messages again.
Well, effectively, it's just a server.
I am so going to get this.
Yeah, I want to hear what you've done with it, Jerry. And those of you out
I'm
there...
I'm not going to do anything exciting.
No, I'm saying if you do anything interesting, I want to hear about it.
All right.
You know, what little project did you do? Think of what you could do with this and, let's say, Tasker. Between those two things, you could automate everything. This is interesting. I wonder if you can have Tasker respond to a pushover notification.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
No, I meant and do something. A lot of interesting possibilities there. Those of you at home, if you have any ideas for interesting applications of this combination of apps and server, you know, very again, very simple idea, but very effective, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear interesting ideas from our studio audience and from our listeners who listen later, what you think might be interesting to do with this. Or if you decide to try it yourself, what you are already doing with it or what you think you might want to try to do with it. And just to get into some housekeeping, remember we are now on Stitcher. Remember, Stitcher allows you to listen to podcasts as if they were a talk radio network. So listen to us and other great podcasts that I don't know about because I don't use Stitcher. I'm more of a, you know, what's the opposite of somebody who attends a buffet? Who, you know, chooses their own food and selects a carefully prepared menu?
At a loss.
Well, I choose my own podcast playlist. Although it would be nice every so often to randomly try a new podcast. Possibly randomly recommended for me based on my tastes. But as of now, I'm behind on the podcasts I have now. So, but I have tried Stitcher, and it seems like a nice application, so we are now part of it. And 47 people have listened, according to the dashboard. Oh, Murph has the term. A la carte is what we're looking for. So I am an a la carte podcast listener. But if you want to listen to a buffet of podcasts, and you have the time to try and discover new things, I recommend Stitcher. 47 people have tried it so far. If you're one of those 47 people listening to us for the first time, welcome. Say hi to the Stitcher people, Jerry.
Hi, Stitcher people.
Okay. And, of course, we continue to be a member of the Tech Podcast Network. If you are at a loss for podcasts, if you want a tech podcast, check out one of those fine, family-friendly programs produced by many kind people. For example, you can check out Daniel Lewis and his podcast, The Audacity to Podcast, which is a podcast about using Audacity, which I use to edit the show, although the show is mostly live to tape. I tried extensively.
That's funny.
Well, I tried extensively editing the show, Jerry. You know, so whenever you make a noise or you know go I used to cut that out, and it used to take me half an hour.
I'm sure it did.
Then one time I tried not doing it, and I haven't heard a single complaint. So I just run it through three filters: truncate silence, normalize, and level. So I can have the podcast up in 10 minutes by doing what's called live to tape, which is no matter what happens, I just put it out there.
Cool.
So it would have to be really bad for me to go in and cut something. Don't try it, Jerry.
Okay.
I don't want to give you a challenge.
Haha.
Other than that, of course, should you be interested in contacting us, our voicemail is 1-201-2-WENICA. That's 1-201-2-WENICA. WENECA. I feel like I should come up with a catchy jingle for that. You can also email us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can find Jerry at jerry.jones@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @androidbuffet. I hang around at @gadgetwisdom. And of course, you can visit our Google Plus page and our Facebook page. You know we have those now, Jerry, right?
Yes.
Yes, we're on all major social media platforms. So if you want to like us, circle us, share us, send us, tweet us, or any other social media verb, there's a place for that. And we'd love to hear from you. Please, tell us what you think. If you don't want to spend the time writing an email, you can send us a message through any of those means. Some people want to limit their appreciation to 140 characters. And we respect that, right, Jer?
We do.
Yes. If you prefer the long form, podcast at androidbuffet.com. If you want to send us an audio file, which we will dutifully play on the air, you can also send that to podcast at androidbuffet.com, either as a link or an attachment. Please try to keep your comments to manageable file sizes, though. Or don't attach it to an email, send us a link. Email is really slow for large files. Right, Jerry?
It can be.
I find it is. If it's over a certain number of megabytes, I'd say just send us a link. We'll listen, I promise. We'll play it if it isn't too bad. I define bad as being family unfriendly. Just remember, if you want to make family unfriendly jokes that would go over the heads of small children and not be repeated, that's fine. Double entendres, perfectly acceptable. Right, Jer?
Yep.
Okay. Anything you'd like to say or anything on your mind?
Nope.
Okay. Tell me I shouldn't get a Nexus 7 tomorrow?
Nope.
You're just not helpful at all, are you?
Nope.
I'm sending you the bill, Jerry. That's okay. Jerry Jones, Jacksonville, Florida. And we'll be back again next week, same time. That's Mondays at 10 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time.
Yep.
And I will be here. After that, I will have to get up early because the following day I am going to California. I will only be there for a short period of time, but should any of you be in Northern California in the Bay Area, I will be in your neighborhood. I will be happy to wave as I pass by on my aircraft. No, I am not flying the aircraft. I am letting a commercial airline do that. But I have a relative getting married in the area. So I'm going to come, see them get married, and leave. I may spend some time in San Francisco. I hear it's nice there. Have you ever been, Jerry?
No.
No. I'm sorry you missed Google I.O. Yep. But I have been to San Francisco. I had a very nice time. I visited the San Francisco Maritime Museum. I got some of the employees to sing me some sea shanties. You know, otherwise, what are our Maritime Museum employees for but to ask them to sing sea shanties?
Hmm.
That's what I like to do when I go to a museum.
Okay.
Get the employees involved. Ask questions. Besides, they were in period dress. Anybody who walks around in period dress deserves to be hit up for a conversation about the period that they're dressing for. The sign said that I was supposed to pretend it was 1911. Or was it 1901? It's been a few years. On that note, shall we bring this podcast to an end?
To an end.
Okay. Thank you, Murph, for joining us in the chat room. You could be like Murph and join us in the chat room and make snarky comments throughout the entire show. Just like Guru, my birthday is coming up. I'd like a Nexus 7 if you're desperate to buy one. I'll be happy to buy you a Nexus 7. That will, of course, cost the price of the Nexus 7 plus New York State tax. And, of course, for good measure, what I'm going to add in is a delivery fee because I'd have to deliver it across state lines into New Jersey. When he said it twice, he must really want that Nexus 7. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. We'll see you next week. Any final thoughts, Jerry? And maybe nope. Next week if I can bill Jerry for your Nexus 7 too. Thank you, Murph. Jerry, you better get out your credit card. You're going to be buying a lot of Nexus 7s. Anyway, who knows? Maybe next week we'll have a representative of the Accessible Computing Foundation on. That would be fun. We'll see. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Sleep tight. And may you have a Nexus 7 under your pillow.